Fine. So I don't know where we left off, but we had outlined there are four Rishuyot in the Gemara, Rishuyot Rabban, Rishuyot Yochid, Carmelit, and Makom Pdor. And we laid out, we talked, we noted that conceptually, right, you have to deal with the, again, we're not going to have time to get too much into lambdas, but just to know that in terms of defining the Rishuyot, it's important to be able to define the Rishuyot and whether they are primary, right, whether all four of these are primary categories, which doesn't seem to be true, not all four of them at least. Right, where a makom patur at least does not seem to be primary in any sense, right? It is the lack of definition. Carmelit, less clear whether. So Carmelit is the in between, but the question of whether you view Carmelit as both a Rishut HaRabim and a Rishut HaYachid Rabban level, a Rishut HaRabim minus a Rishut HaYachid plus, you know, or there's different types of Carmelit or it's a different halos, and all those things are interesting. And in terms of Rishut HaRabim and Rishut HaYachid, whether they're primary or they're defined in opposition to the other. And then we noted that we know, what we know from the Gemara in terms of Rishut HaRabim is, one, that a Rishut HaRabim cannot have a roof on it because we compare it to the Diglei Midbar, right, to the camp around the flags of the Jewish people. And the Gemara says it's 16 amot wide, which we noted according to certain Rishonim, doesn't mean 16 amot wide necessarily at the entire length. It could be that it narrows at some point to 13 and a fraction. And as long as the opening and the end of the road, it would be 16 amot, it would still be a Rishut HaRabim.
Did we say where we got the number 13 and a fraction?
From a complicated sugya, which I'll leave for a second. Right, this was the position of the Rosh, which accepted in Halacha, right, that Yud Gimel Amaru Shlish, Ushnei Rashem Mufulashim L'Sharabim Shurachav Yud Vav Yesh Omrim Shur Rishut HaRabim. And then we noted, right, that again, conceptually speaking, you have to wonder whether having a roof is not a Rishut HaRabim or is a Rishut HaRabim for which you're not Chayav. And again, in Lumdus, this is more important, but there might be at the border certain implications of this halachically, right? Do you say that there can be certain things that are the very definition of the Rishut and certain things which are not the definition of the Rishut, but they are mafkia. And then we briefly got into the discussion of the 600,000, where we noted it is not quoted anywhere in the Gemara. It is not quoted in the Rambam at all. Rashi and Tosfot do quote it, as do many of the Gaonim. The major problem with it is that the among there are many, many, many problems with it, but among the problems with it are... is the fact that the Gemara says if it were not for the fact that Yerushalayim had its door closed at night, right, the gate closed at night, which were, is where we talk about something that otherwise would be Rishut HaRabim, but because you close the, you literally close it. So that makes it that it is no longer Rishut HaRabim. But the Gemara says that were it not for the, what? Right, were it not, then it would be a Rishut, Rishut HaRabim. The problem is that there were not 600,000 people living in... there were just simply not 600,000 people living in the old city of Yerushalayim, the Gemara. Now, there are obviously many other problems, but this is among the problems that that is created in terms of defining Rishut HaRabim as requiring 600,000 people. Now, we're not going to Psak yet, but I just want to sort of put things out there. Another possible exception to the rules emerges from a Mishnah in a Mishnah in Erevin and the ensuing Sugya in Erevin Nuntet. Right, the Gemara there says as follows. The Gemara says that Ir Shel Yachid v'Naaseid Shel Rabim. If you have a city of an individual that becomes of the community, Ma'arvin et Kula, you can make it all into an Erev v'Shel Rabim. And if it's of a majority of Naaseid Shel Yachid, Ein Ma'arvin et Kula, you can't make an Erev on all of it. Elam Ken Oseh Chutzala Kir Chadasha, unless you exclude a certain amount of it. The size, you have to exclude from it the space of 50 dwellers. It only has to be three courtyards of two houses, meaning six houses worth, have to be excluded when you take this. Rashi says that what is Shel Yachid v'Shel Rabim? Does it have 600,000 people? Does it not have 600,000 people? Right. So if it didn't have 600,000 people, and then 600,000 people started coming into it, it's not.
It's mentioned by Rashi.
I just said Rashi reads into this sugya the 600,000 thing again. However, the Ramban reads that this is not what's going on. And the Ramban says it's something else. Vesov, he says, this is seven on what I gave you. I'm trying to limit what I'm sending you. So this one's from a flug. I can send you my own. But I taught Erevin for a year. So if I send you my full on Erevin, that will be a lot. Vesov davar ein lanu ela mashu muskar betamud rishud rabim sheses rehama the gemini mishin kideberek. Hazorig, v'she'ena mekura gnamina berakamet shabbat, but during lo yafinan. He just notes that 600,000 is not a case here. Right? It's just not true. Right? We only have what the Gemara mentions. And then what is, and then a number 10, so what does he think this is exception is of an ir shel yachid? So he says, Perish Rashi's al ir shel yachid, ayinu she'en bashishim ribo b'nei adam. Rashi said that this is lacking 600,000 people. The korele shel yachid v'shem b'shem rabim. And it's called yachid because it's never shem rabim. V'nei she'im sha'amam mu'atim. V'lo dam l'digle midbar v'nasit shabim v'zibod yurim. V'zei ha'inyan b'kama god perish ha'ta she'en rishit rabim garmina al b'ir she'ish b'ribu shishim ribo. And he says, Rashi says this a lot. V'lo yadanu minayin lo Rashi kain. I don't know where Rashi would get such a thing. Shlo hosku b'dam v'shom makom. It's not mentioned anywhere. What? Right. So instead, what he what?
No.
What are you talking about?
No.
Gemara never mentions it.
That was the thing, it doesn't.
Rashi mentioned it. Rashi mentioned it in multiple places. The Gemara never says it. Never. Ever. 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 Ever.
Sowing the seeds of
this. What?
No, the Gemara mentions Yerushalayim, and Rashi takes that to mean
six. So the Ramban himself, I don't know why he didn't include this, but the Ramban himself has a different chiddush, which is that he says, Ir shel yachid v'nazram zeu shayta kol yer mitchila shel adam echad. If it was owned by one person, so then it would be a reshut hayachid.
If one person owns it, why do you have to set aside certain houses?
No, it's when you're transforming it. When you're transforming it. Yes, when you are transforming it, then you have to exclude some of it. But what if you did exclude it? Because you did. I don't understand. You did. But what if it's not his anymore? I don't understand. That's what I... I'm very confused. Where is my... Say it again? Okay, maybe I'll take a minute here and I'll just note. So it owns. That's an Erevin Nuntet. It was owned by a Rabim. Right? If it's owned by a Yochid, he thinks it also makes it not Rishut Harabim. Now, I will tell you... Okay. Look, we're not going to get through... we're not going to get through everything in Rishuyot, so maybe now is a good time for me just to pause and tell you where you can find more resources, okay? Now, if you want to do the deep dive, yeah, I did teach this for a year in Toronto, so you'll see I have, like, many, many Shurma Erevin, and then I gave a mini course to the Mizrahi Smicha guys, so you can follow that if you want a little bit. Right, Jack, there is a few excellent articles that summarize basic issues. If you want to do a bit of a deeper dive, so fourth year Halacha L'Maaseh at NYU, they do a survey Erevin, and they put together a PDF of 143 pages. That one, I have it as Erevin Materials. That's what I have in my computer. There's also a blog, Erev.blogspot, I think. Erevonline.blogspot.com, which is written by some anonymous expert in Erevin that only calls himself Line Man, who since 2005 has written hundreds of entries with incredible Mikarot on Erevin, defending Erevin. He is like a huge Erevin defender. So if you ever want to defend Erevin, go. Because anytime anyone attacks any Erev in the world, he then posts. He posts something and defends it.
But if you don't know who he is, just
because I've read the hundreds of posts on it. He wrote unbelievable essays on Erevin. He clearly knows what he's talking about. I have no idea who the man is. I have read, or woman, sure, or what? He's Line Man. I don't know who Line Man is, but he's Line Man. What? Line person, but he calls himself Line Man. There's also a few excellent, books that, are more practical, you know, that like do the concept, but also tell you how to build an Erev. There's one by Rabbi Bechofer, called The Contemporary Erev. There's a really, really good picture, like book that has pictures, which does what no one else does in Erevin. That came out of Chicago, by Rabbis Glender and Francis. Where one of the things they do, the pictures are excellent, but one of the things they do no one else does is a lot of the problems in Erevin, it's hard to visualize what's going on. So they have like a sections of pictures where they literally just say, we took this picture to a bunch of poskim and said, is this okay or not? And Rav David Feinstein said this, and Rav Shlomo Miller said this, and they just go through it. So if you're unsure, when someone called me once with a shot in Erevin, I'm okay, what are you looking at? Here's a few pictures. Which one are you looking at? I just send him WhatsApps of different things. What are you looking at? So that's a very good book. So there are a lot of good resources. If you want Hebrew, Rai Simon's book on Erevin, Imre Baruch, is excellent. That's just a note on Makaro. Oh, sorry, there's also, if you want the history of Erevin, which has a nice introduction on the halachot of Erevin, so Rabbi Dr. Adam Mintz wrote his dissertation on the first four Erevin in North America. Where the beginning is an interesting halachic overview, and then the history and the rabbinic politics around the first four Erevin, which were, factoid, what are the first four Erevin in North America? Is not the first one. Nope. No and no. Nope. St. Louis in the 1860s, immediately following the Civil War, was the first city Erev in North America. Then there was not another major city Erev until 1905 in New York. The third one was Toronto, by Graubart under the Chavilim ben Imim. And then the fourth one was the redo of the New York Erev in 1950s. After that, they became more common, but those were the first major ones. Okay, fine. So back to what we were talking about. So now why is this important? Because as I said, the major question in building Erevin, when we talk about Erevin, guys, remember, when we talk about Erevin, what did I say? There's two very different things. The first question you need to answer before you build an Erev is, are you dealing with a Rishut HaRavim D'Oraita? In which case you cannot build an Erev unless you can create walls. If it is a Rishut HaRabim, then the only, I will reiterate, if it is a Rishut HaRabim, then the only way to remove its status as a Rishut HaRabim is walls, right? The Gemara says, and I lock the door at night, is actual mechitza. Otherwise, if something is still a Rishut HaRabim, it is a... There is no way of making an Eruv. The second question is, once I can build an Eruv, then we have to deal with all the questions. Most of the questions in Masechet Eruvin are not the first time, are the questions of how do you build an Eruv when you are allowed to build an Eruv. The question of whether you can build an Eruv, much of that is Shabbat. Now, that's not exclusively true, because there are many cases which are not Rishut HaRabim and you still can't build an Eruv. Because of things like Karpeth. Okay, right? So this is Karpeth is an uninhabited area in a Eruv, which Derabanan destroys the whole Eruv.
Why?
Because it's a Karpeth. It does, unless you were sold on this bizarre notion that you have of things needing a lot of people. Now, uninhabitable. Well, no, not really. That's not true. That's not true. No, so a park is considered inhabited because people can routinely walk through it, right? It's not necessarily where people live, right? A organized walking path, right? That's still fine. It's a non, right? It's a little bit complicated, right? Meaning if people walk through it, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about an empty construction plot. It's not uninhabitable because you're not living on the park for human normal living. Okay, let's more broadly. What? No, like a construction plot.
So how big is that?
Not big. You think? Now there is admittedly. Yeah. Now I will briefly, guys. So very briefly on the 600,000. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole entirely. But do we paskin the 600,000? Because this is a major question. So what's the answer to that question? Do we hold you need 600,000?
Machlokas.
So Shulchan Aruch says as follows: Eizu Rishut HaRabim. This is 11. Okay, look at 11, guys. Eizu Rishut HaRabim, Rechovot. Ushvakim arechavim yudvav ama, ve'ena mikurim 16 amot not roofed, ve'ein lem choma with no wall, v'afilu yesh lem choma, and even they have a wall, imi mifulashim mishar l'shar, right? So if something has a wall, it's still a Rishut HaRabim if it's called mifulash. Okay, what's mifulash? Open, right? It's open from one side to the other. Now, what does that mean? So here, things also get messy, because one meaning of mifulash might mean not obstructed. No, not obstructed, meaning not easy access, not obstructed, that you, when you cross the path, there is no place at which you can't get through, right? That would be the most machmir, right? That would be the most machmir, because it would say... Because that would mean even a path that goes like this would be considered mafulash.
I mean,
right? It's not a straight shot, but like when you go through, just because you have to go around a little bit and you go in curves, that would still be, right? That would be at one extreme, and our post would take that. And then at the other extreme, another thing you should know about Irvin is that a lot of the key texts in Irvin, not surprisingly, are, well, yes, but I meant like later texts are treatises written to defend or attack a particular Eruv, right? So like when you learn Eruvin, you get to know a lot about the history of Eruvin. So for example, in the Odessa Eruv, which was a big city, the Tiv Yehoshua is the key text that defended the Eruv. And one of his was, no, Mifulash means it must be perfectly straight from one into the other. If it turns even a little bit, it's not a Rishut HaRabim. And that's why he was Mekel, right? The Paris Eruv, which was defended by the Chatam Sofer, key text. The Manchester Eruv, defended by the Beit Av, key text. The New York Eruv, 1905 and 1950, has key texts. The Toronto Eruv has key texts, right? Rav Graubard and the Chavilim Benim, right? Price of the 19 in its update, right? Rabbi Felder in its update again, right? Even their current website. after the New York era of the 1950, Rav Kasher wrote an entire section of his book, Divrei Menachem, on it, like 150 pages or something, a very detailed encyclopedic knowledge. The you can go back on Hebrew books. If you're interested, you can get the full text of the tshuva in favor and against the Eruv in St. Louis in the 1860s. The Tikvat Zechariah and the something or other.
It was one of the earlier ones.
Yeah. Anyway, so he says, and the doors are not closed at night, right? Because if it's closed at night, as we already said, that would solve it. Right? So even if you had a gate and you had a straight shot from one side of Yerushalayim to the other, the Gemara says, but if I close the door at night, that's fine. Heaven or Shura Rabbim. And some people say, if there are not 600,000 people that go through it, it is not Rishud HaRabim. Now, as I said, to fully understand this sugya, you need to go through all, as I have it in my Makarot, Binyan Shishim Riba, this is how I put it. You have to deal with, one is the textual question, are there sources against or four in the Gemara, authority, which is, do the Rishonim accept it and the Acharonim accept it? The third thing is custom, right? Is, did people rely on this position or not? And then, even if you do accept it, you have to figure out what counts as 600,000. Is it true of all Rishud HaRabim? Are there some that don't need 600,000? What does it mean for them to be walking through? And then you have to ask whether 600,000 is part of the definition of Rishud HaRabim, or a condition in Rishud HaRabim, but whether there's enough commitment to that. Okay?
Like a simon or a sefer?
No. As we said, is it definitional, right? Like Makora. Is it definitional or not?
Okay.
Okay. So, the Be'er Halacha here summarizes. Look, in recent memory, the major machloket that emerged was between the Mishkanot Yaakov and the Beit Ephraim. Okay? The Mishkanot Yaakov said... So is Rav Yaakov Karliner, and he basically said all Erevin, modern Erevin, are just pasul. That was basically the upshot of his psak. And the Beit Ephraim, Rav Ephraim Zalman Margoliot, defended it, and they have these endless tshuvot, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Yeah, I mean, not modern. It's like, you know, this is Beit Ephraim is 1762 to 1828. And Rav Yaakov Karliner died in 1858. So they really argued about this intensely. The Beit Ephraim was insistent that the Mishkanot Yaakov was convinced that we don't paskin the 600,000, and that he had found many, many, many more sources in Rishonim that did not, they just didn't believe in this. And this went back and this really went back and forth a lot. If I can find this one second. Let me see, where did I put this? Let's see if I can find this one second. Okay, I'll try to find it. Anyways, I'm going to try to limit myself a little bit. That's why I took someone else's Makoto cheat, because you can see that mine is different. But now this does become a flashpoint in Psak, because the world of Lita, and then later Briskers following the tradition of Lita, are historically not very into Erevin. They're just not. And who are the biggest defenders of Erevin? What? Or Hasidim are the biggest defenders by far of Erevin. And a lot of the, right, so for example, you know, when you think about the Brooklyn Erev, Ramosha Feinstein, who's following, you know, the more Litvish tradition, thought that the Erev was invalid. And the defender of the Brooklyn Erev was who? Was Rav Menashe Klein, was the Mishnah Halachot. Was the Mishnah Halachot. And he wrote a 400 plus page book called Om Ani Choma. Right, Om Ani Choma, to defend it. Anyways, so the Ber Halacha summarizes a bit the position here. He says, "Ayn Mishnah Berurah Mashkadav Demidana Mechaber Mashmad Lo Sfira Lekein." If you read the Shulchan Aruch, it sounds like he doesn't really hold up the 600,000. Behind him, Midkadav Deazu Rak B'Shem Yeshomrim, and that's why he just quotes it as some say. V'inei Amogen Avram Katav Demisimen Shin Gimel Shamash Mechaber Sfira Lekein. The Amogen Avram elsewhere says the Mechaber does agree with it. Now, these tend to be bad diukim. Usually when the Achronim say it's clear that Shulchan Aruch thought that there was an Erev, that 600,000 was necessary for Erev, it's because he says, nowadays there is no Rashut HaRabim. Right? Shulchan Aruch says this in a few places. Nowadays we don't have Rashut HaRabim. So people say, oh, it must mean he holds the 600,000, and therefore practically there's nowhere with an Erev. And that's how they draw the deal. This is not necessarily a great deal, because as many people pointed out, if you've been to Tzvat before, right? That's where he lived. Can you think of other reasons why Tzvat might not be a Rishud HaRabim? It's windy. Parts of it have roofs. Adayom, right? Part of the public streets have roofs, and roofs is another exception, right? So he says, "Ukvar dachu davar zekamav kam achronim," and many achronim rejected this. Dehevi sham rak dadam amilamdim zchut. And say that he's only being Malamit Zchud. What's Malamit Zchud? He doesn't hold of it, but he's trying to explain why those people aren't wicked people. There are many places that prove that he holds that there is Rishud HaRabim. Now the Magen Avraham and the Taz say that most people hold of the Yesh Omrim, meaning they do need 600,000. So he said the problem is that when the Achronim, Magen Avraham the Taz, wrote that most people are Mekil, they didn't have access to that many books. But when we looked into the poskim, what did we find? We found that many, 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 many more rishonim that we knew were machmir. Therefore, the Ber Halacha says we should definitely be stringent. Would you like a list? I mean, I can't give you a full list. Here, I have what did I include in my Makoro sheet? Sefer Itim says you need 600,000 people. The, let's see. The, right, Tosfot says you need it. Sefer Truma says you need it. Rashi says you need it. The Ramban rejects it. Then, what? The Ramban rejects it, and the Rambam rejects it. Many different positions I could find for you. Now, I will point out that, like I said, even if you got there, it's still hard to define. It's still hard to define 600,000, I'm going to go through this in different orders. I will just note that one of the problems is there may be an exception to this rule, that there may be a super Rishut HaRabim, and that is a platya. A platya. Right, so remember the Gemara said that there are... That there's what? What is a Rishut HaRabim? A sratya, which is a road, a platya, which is a square, and mevot mefulashin, right? And these intercity roads. It's not clear that platya, that 600,000 would be necessary for a platya. It could be that it's only necessary for a sratya. There is another major chumrah in platya that creates quite a bit of nightmares in the building of certain Erevin. And that is that the Rajba holds that, so as I said, what is the one way of turning a Rishut HaRabim into Rishut HaYachid, even if it fits all the rules of a, you close the door. However, the Rajba says as follows. Right, the Rajba says that by a platya, even a wall won't help. Even a wall won't help. Now, there's two ways of understanding the Rajba. There's two ways of understanding the Rajba. What does it mean that a wall won't help? So one is that a platya is a plaza and is impervious to removing it. Once it fits the rules of Rishut HaRabim, it is impervious to becoming not Rishut HaRabim, and nothing that you can do to it can stop that, including walls. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that the walls of a city don't help a platya, but if it had its own walls, then it would work. Now, the Meiri takes the second view, right, that it could be fixed, but only if you had its own wall, whereas the Rajba himself might say that that is impervious and it might not need to 600,000. What does that do to a... Now, why is that a big deal? Can you name me at least one Erev that includes a major platya in it? Yeah, New York. One of the major problems in the New York Erev is the platya. Times Square is a platya. It's a square. A platya is a square. No. It's not about shape. It's an open space in the city where people gather. Yeah, that may not matter. Because obstruction might only help you in a sratya. Because the whole point is that you have to be able to walk through, and therefore if you can't walk through, it's obstructed. That may not matter by a platya, because people are gathering in it, not going through it. And that's why platya is different. So I'm debating how, again, there's so much we can do here. Maybe I'll follow Flug's thing here, because this will be helpful to understand practical ones. So what did I say? Okay, again, we did not get through every rule in Rishut HaRabim, but like I said, if you do have it, let's say you have a Rishut HaRabim, then what do you need to do? Put up walls, right? You need to put up walls. How many walls, by the way? So according to the Rambam, how many walls do you need? Three plus. Right, the Ravid is 2+, but the Rambam is 3+, meaning 4 walls, but the 4th one doesn't have to be complete. Right, to turn into Yerusha Yachid.
What defines it as being? Does it actually need to be like a separate wall? What defines it? Because doesn't need to be like a corner? Can it just encircle it?
So here's where the major question. Now, traditionally, this was not true, but most Erevin nowadays don't want to rely on the 600,000. Okay, historically, there were a lot of Erevin that one of their main heterim was 600,000. Other relied, as Rudy noted, on, well, how loosely can you include define walls? So we know that walls don't have to be something that you build. A very classic wall in Halacha is what's called a tela mitlakeit. What's a tela mitlakeit? It's a slanted piece of earth, a mountain. Something like that. That, the Gemara says, is a wall, as long as it's steep enough. Doesn't have to be that steep. It's a machloket, exactly how steep it has to be. Okay. I mean, the Gemara says it's goes one by four, but it's not clear whether that four is the x-axis or the hypotenuse. So
oh,
it comes
wow,
out.
That's quite
the so it, no, it's actually not.
Oh, wait.
No, whether the four is the x or the hypotenuse, not the y. Right?
Oh, okay.
Right, so it's not that big of a difference. You're talking 20-some-odd degrees. So it's really not 22, 24 degrees, something like that. But you're not talking that steep. Right? So you have a mountain even like this, right? That's a Tel Mitlakeit. And according to certain people, they raise the possibility that seawalls are Rishon Rabban. Gemara raises this possibility, but it's not clear whether, when it says that, is it the water or the presumed drop-off of land under the water. So it could be the water itself. It could be the land that's underneath the water that if it comes to enough of a, if it itself is a Talmud Lake, right? In certain cases, yes, you build a wall around the city.
You think that a wall can only go up?
No, it could go down. Okay. Why not? Okay, see, we didn't get through the whole sugya of Rishon Yachid, but a very classic Rishon Yachid is a mound with no walls. If you're standing on a platform, a square platform, let's say, which is a Rishon Yachid, because the walls are considered imaginary walls, right? The platform itself creates halachic walls that go up.
Okay.
Right, Adla Rakia, that's a Rishon Yachid. Right? You don't have to, walls don't necessarily go up. So if you want to turn something which is a Rishon Rabban, let's say you don't want to hold the 600,000, so then what you need to do is you need to turn the Rishon Rabban into Rishon Yachid. How are you going to do that? Rishon Rabban is a public domain, Rishon Yachid is a private domain. So how would you do that? So the Gemara, and this is on 13. Guys, so the Gemara in 13 says like this, right? So this is the most relevant sugya. This sugya in 13. Tana Rabbanan. Ketzad ma'arvin derech Rishon Rabban. How do you make an Erev in a Rishon Rabban? So Oset Surata Pesach Mikan, Vilechi Vikara Mikan. You make a doorway on one side and Lechin Kara on the other side. Chananya Omer, Beit Shammai Omrim Oset Delet Mikan, Vedelet Mikan. Chananya says you make a door on this side and a door on that side. Ukshayotze Venichmanaz, and when you go out and in, no ale, you lock it. Beit Hill Omrim Oset Delet Mikan, you make a door on one side and then you only need Lechin Vikara Mikan. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? Rishon Rabban Mima Arva. You can't make an Erev in Rishon Rabban. You have two houses on the side of Rishon Rabban. Osa lechem mikan, lechem mikan, okor mikan, okor mikan. The nose even odem emtza, and then you can carry in between. Amru lo, and they said to him, "Ain marav Rishon Rabban bekach." You can't do that. And maybe you'll say the chitema bekach udlo marav. Maybe you say this doesn't allow you to make an eruv. Habid dal tot marav. But if I had doors, you could make an eruv. Unless you lock the doors of Yerushalayim, it would be Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. V'amar Ula, Hani Avule de Mechoza, same thing in Mechoza, right? In Bavel, Imali Dadinin Alon Chayevin El Mishon Rabbim. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Hachi Ka Amar, Ketet Marvin Mivuot and Mifulashin Lirushud Arabim. He says, you're right. This wouldn't be enough for a Rishud Arabim. It'd only be enough for a thoroughfare that opens into Rishud Arabim. But not the Rishud Arabim itself. Oza Surah Betel Mikan Velech Mikar Mikan. But Itmar Rav, Hil Rav Amar Hilchot Ketana Kama, which is more lenient. Yishmol Amar Halacha Ke Chananya. And Shmuel says the halacha is like Chananya. So therefore, according to Chananya, Beit Hillel is one side needs an actual door. And the Tanakhama says you need a Surat HaPetach. Now, what exactly does this Gemara mean and how does it play into here? In order to understand that, you need one more. So again, that's the one here in 14. Which is called Ati Rabim Umavatli Mechitzta. So the Gemara says as follows: Bamine Rachva Me Rava. Rachva asked Rava, Tela Mitlaket Asara Mitoch Arba. A Tela Mitlaket that goes 10 by 4. Did I say 1 by 4 before? 10 by 4. Right? Now again, 10 by 4 is it the X axis, the Y axis, the X axis or the hypotenuse, right? Comes out to a slight difference. Bokinbo, Chayavin Alam Yishud Arabim, O Ein Chayavin Alam. What if people actually walk on it? On the wall, meaning a slant is a wall, halachically, but what if people walk on said slant? Does that change it? Alibid Rabban Lodi Baila, Hashmatam Nichatash Mishte, Am Rabban Lodi Rabban Matam Mechitsta, Hachlo Nichatash Mishte, Lokol Shekain. So the Chachamim hold that when something is not Nichatash Mishte, when it's hard to use, even if you can use it, it's not batel just because people use it. Bedochak, kiti baylach levit Yehuda. We have to ask from Yehuda, my hadu nichlesh mishay hachot lo nichlesh mishay la'adur amav mechitza. Is it only when it's easy to use? So then it's not mevat. Then it's mevatel mechitza. Odilma lo shna amar lechayaven. Your chayev afil in olin o bechevel amar le in. Even if I have to climb up with a rope, he said, yeah, afil b'malot even with steps beit maron amar le. In. So, these two sugyot, what? Yeah. Now, these two sugyot became amongst the most important sugyot in modern Erevin. Because the Beit Ephraim paskins, lo ati rabim mevatli mechitzta, point one. And point two, he disagrees with the Rambam and says that all the walls can be made of a Tzurat HaPetach. Right? Oh, doorway. Now, a doorway. Minimal doorway. So therefore, he said that as long as you don't have a real Rishud HaRabim, you could make the entire wall out of Tzurat HaPetach. And the Mishkan of Yaakov said, no, we paskin atu rabim vadli mechitzta. And Rabim, for these purposes, is not 600,000. It's just a bunch of people. And therefore, he thinks that the Tzurat HaPetach will be broken if people are walking through them. Now, here, the Mishnah Brura says that the Minhag HaOlam is to rely on the Beit Ephraim of Lo Ati Rabam Mevatli Mechitzta. Assuming that on a right level, a Tzurat HaPetach wall is enough without actual doors. Doors is only the Rabbanan. And therefore, if you put Tzurat HaPetach around, you can rely on Rashi and Tosfot that the Rishud HaRabim is 600,000 and doesn't require real doors. But he says, this is convoluted. And therefore, Bal Nefesh Yachmir. It's better not to rely on Erevin that rely on this Heter. Okay? Or the Loati Rabim Vatli Mechitzta. Another major defense of modern Erevin, again, I'm running through different things, is a very wild shita of the Chazon Ish. And the Chazon Ish says, look, maybe you hold Ati Rabba Mavadli Mechitzta by Tzur HaPetach. But you won't hold Ati Rabba Mavadli Mechitzta if the majority of the city is surrounded by an actual wall, because a majority comes and is Mavatel the wall, nullifies the wall by passing through it. The Chazon Ish said that's only by Tzur HaPetach, but not by walls. But if you have a city in which it's Ruba La Parotz, that the majority of the wall of the city is surrounded by walls, then we would say Lo Ati Rama Mada Mechitzta, and therefore we would look at the city as walled, and therefore it would be not a Rashud HaRabim. The Chazon Ish then takes this a step farther, and he says, therefore, the more densely populated your city, the less likely for it to be a Rashud HaRabim. Do you carry in Manhattan? Do you know that it's that parts of it are Chazon Ish Eruv? But watch this Svara. Here, look at 19. Look at said picture. Because he says, in dense building, or in cities with dense building, what is there? Mostly walls. Exactly, right? So, as someone once explained, I think I heard this once from Rai Simon, right, that basically the Machloket was as follows. That the Chazon Ish is a formalist, and he looked at Manhattan, and he saw a house. Right? He sees walls. Right? And apparently, as the story goes, apocryphally, how did Rav Moshe Feinstein decide that Manhattan you couldn't build an Eruv? Someone was driving him on the FDR. He looks out the window and he says, look at all these people. And people think this is the Rishus HaYachid, right? And there was an intuitive, like, what are you talking about? Manhattan is the busiest, is among the busiest cities in the world. Okay, that comes back to the question of 600,000 when? What do you mean? Rav Moshe Feinstein thinks that it's 600,000 people. So what does it mean? What does it mean simultaneously? On the road simultaneously? In the area that feeds into the Rishon HaRabim? Present. Several million. Right? So a major question is trying to figure out what 600,000 is. Right? What 600,000 is. Right? Because besides the question of whether you're even possibly like 600,000, you have to figure out 600,000 when. Right? Like 600,000 when? Or where? Right? What exactly does that... No, that doesn't matter. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein says, even if you hold of 600,000, it can't be 600,000 necessarily on the road. Why not? Now, some people argued, the ones that were defended, the Brooklyn Arabs, it had to be 600,000 on the road. That's Moshe said... It can't be right, because where do we get 600,000 from? No, 600,000 of Diglei Midbar. In the entire camp. Right? In the entire camp. Right, between 20 and 60. So he thinks there must be 600,000 who go through the area on a day. Right? So he thinks that means if there's an area with 3 million people, you can assume that 600,000 people are traversing the area in a day. Now, there were other shito. Now, I kid you not, you want to know what some of the defenses are. So Rav Moshe Klein said, well, no, there aren't 600,000 people on the roads. You know how I know? And even on the roads, even in the area, you know how I know? Because most of them are in cars, and they don't count. Why? Because they're traveling in moving four walls, Rishu Yod HaYochid, and therefore they don't count. Yeah, that's not actually that Okay, we're gonna have to stop here. Like I said, Erevin is a huge topic. You guys wanted to get a taste of it. I said getting a taste of it is not so easy, right? And you start to see the complexity of the issues, right? We haven't even got into what defines a Rishon HaYachid. We've only talked about what might define a Rishon HaRavim. Okay, well.